Okay, we set. A lot of activity in the booth again today. Focus here. Focus straight ahead. Right, there you go. Oh, I love giving you some crap, right? Okay, levels okay? We're all set? Okay, yes, talent is ready in the booth. Put it in the books, episode 137, 137. And the final podcast of 2018. I have to go back and look. Did we really do 52 this year? Wow. Time flies, doesn't it? All right, so I guess we could say number 137 and number one or and 52. Put that down in the book there. Last one of 2018. All right, we set? Three S's. Star, smile, strong. Okay, here we go. Three, two, one. Hey, it's Elton Jim, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNPlus.com. Every Monday, new episode, new podcast is posted for your podcasting pleasure. Also up on iTunes and other platforms. So, if you click, if you swipe, if you download, we thank you for checking in every week, and we thank you for your loyalty, especially today on this podcast, because this is not only episode 137, but it is also episode 52 for the year of 2018, I assume. I haven't done the homework, but this is the last podcast of 2018, and since we've always been taught that there are 52 weeks in a year, and I don't think we had a... Doesn't matter if we had a leap year, does it? No. So, in theory, I haven't gone back and checked, but in theory, this is episode 52. And overall, we have done 137 episodes. You can find the previous 136 if you go on my landing page on WGNPlus.com, and you can just... go to the entertainment section, and you'll see Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and you click on there. It's always good to be up to date with what we are doing. And so while you can binge, which is always an option for you, at the same time, please know that you can also listen on a regular basis. And, you know, every week, just show up, click on an hour of your time. Once again, I don't have my calculator out, but I have to think if there's 24 hours in a day and there's 7 days a week, then 7 times 24, 8 carry you 2, like what, 7 times 4 is 28. 8, carry your 2, 14, 16. 168 hours in a week. And that's right off the top of my head, folks, okay? I am known as the human calculator, and that's the reason why. Did you hear that? And just like we used to do in grammar school and in high school, I showed my math, right? Now, did I do it right? 24 times 7. 4 times 7, 28. 2 times 7, 14. Carry the 2, 16. 168. So I'm going to go with that, even though I didn't do it on paper. That was all in my head. But I showed you verbally, showed you my work. I didn't cheat. And as you see, look how quick I did that. Yeah, math. Yeah, I was a math whiz. I actually was pretty good in math and in grammar school. I loved, as I've talked about before, I loved long division. I loved to put a remainder. I used to love that little structure that you created for long division with the big number inside and the small number outside and divided into it, and then they had a little roof on it, a little door kind of. And you went into, I don't even know if that's what the thought of it was, but that's the way I always thought of it. 24 went into 580, right? So there is a little structure with one line that went down and one line went across. And I looked at it like a house, like a door. So the first little one, it was the door, and then the other one was the roof. So 24 goes into 500 and whatever, how many times, and then you went up on the roof because you couldn't get in the door. Boy, if I would have thought of that when I was in fourth grade, I may have been even better at long division, if that would have been possible. But yeah, so you know, 24 goes into, and then you put it out, but then there was a time when it didn't work out even, and then there was a remainder, and you put R4. I used to love that. Now, from what I understand, these kids today, they don't do multiplication like we did, and they don't do long division like we did, I don't think. I know they don't do multiplication because I helped a younger person a couple of years ago with their multiplication tables, and they created some weird, like, lattice thing. I don't know what the hell they were doing, but I was told that is how long division is done now, or multiplication is done now. There's so many people. Oops, that'll be for later. And I was told that, and so I didn't know what that was going on. I just used to do multiplication tables memorized. Still do. And as you heard me do it right there, right? 7 times 4. I didn't even hesitate. 28. 7 times 2. 14. Didn't hesitate. Yeah. I was fine until we got to algebra 2 trig. And then my mind was blown. I didn't do well in geometry either. I don't know if that is about logic. I don't know what that tests. But whatever it tests, it certainly tested me to the core. Because before that, I flew through algebra freshman year. And then geometry just, wow. It was like a whole different. And then right into algebra 2 trig, and that, I was finished. I don't think I took another math class after that. I was just like, okay, I know. One thing that I've always tried to do in my life, and I think what's best to do is, yes, there's always, you know, there's two schools of thought on this. If you can't do something well, then you should learn and try and learn to do it well. And there are times when you can do that. There's sometimes when just some good old-fashioned effort can enable you to achieve something. And so that's great. And so there's nothing wrong with try again. That was the old phrase. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Nothing wrong with that. I am the prince of persistence. But then there are times that where you just don't have the capabilities. And I think when those times hit you, it may be best to just say, I can't do that, and move on. And hone your skills on those things you can do well. And hopefully that you enjoy as well. Most of the time, what we do enjoy most is what we can do well, right? That just seems to be human nature. So yeah, I've tried a lot of different things, and the ones that I have enjoyed and I've done well at, I have continued to do, and I have put in my time. They say we're supposed to put 10,000 hours or something. I've done that. And there's other things that I've tried that I just wasn't good at, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to try to prove something to myself or others if I either can't do this, or at the root of it all, I don't really want to do it. Maybe I thought I did. I tried it. And there's other things that you you may not have done well, and you may have tried them at first, and you weren't good at them, and you did continue to try, and then suddenly a light bulb went on or something happened, and you did enjoy it, and that's great. And it's that, sometimes that happens 10 years down the line. Think of broccoli. Think of Brussels sprouts, right? Think of spinach. But I think there's a delicate balance there. So I don't think it's wrong to quit something if it's not for you. Just don't do that in everything. When you quit something, make sure that you are also doing other things to enhance your abilities and your talents as well. You don't just dry up. But I am, as I said many times, I am a pragmatist. I am a realist. And there's some things, like when I was a little kid, I really, obviously, I'm a big fan of Elton John. I wanted to play the piano, right? Of course, you emulate your idols. And so when I was in fifth grade, I started to take piano lessons. And I took piano lessons for about a year and a half or 2 years. And I was okay. I was proficient, okay? I was all right. But it didn't come naturally to me. I didn't have natural musical talent where I could just sit down and pick out a tune, or I could tell you what a B flat was, or it didn't come easy to me. It didn't come naturally to me. I had to work hard at it, and I do have a very good memory, and which is why I did well in multiplication. So when I was able to play a piece in music, it came to me, and I was able to do it only because I practiced enough where I memorized it. I memorized where my hands were supposed to go. They weren't going there naturally. They were going there out of rote, out of repetition, not out of knowledge, not out of feel. And so, yes, I could have continued to learn to play the piano, but I believe I would have gotten to a certain point, and then I would have stopped. And because I wanted to be able to just sit down and do it. I didn't want to have to work so hard every time. It didn't become enjoyable then. And so I gave it up. And I don't regret giving it up. I regret that I don't have the talent to do it. That's what makes me upset. Not the fact that I gave it up, because I tried and I practiced. And as I said, the only reason I could play was because I practiced a lot. A lot of times people don't practice and they don't get good. I was okay. I was just okay because I practiced so much. But it just never came naturally to me. And so, you know, one of those things, and there's other things that I've tried in the past that just didn't feel right. I tried them. I'm glad I did. I learned something from the experience, from the process. I took something away from it, but I've always been somebody that feels like, you know, if you're good at something, then try to excel at that. And at the same time, I've always tried to be, to some extent, a jack of all trades, in that I've always thought it was important from a knowledge standpoint to have a little knowledge about a lot of things, as opposed to just knowing one thing. But you can make an argument about that too, right? I mean, look at Stephen Hawking and Einstein, right? They did all right knowing a lot about one thing. So, you know, who knows? It's so difficult, and everybody chooses their own paths and chooses their own way, and you try to rationalize the way you took is the right way. Maybe it was the wrong way. Maybe I could have been a concert pianist. I don't know. I never will know. I went to law school for a year, and I quit law school because I didn't like it. I learned a lot. But I realized that I wasn't made to be a lawyer, per se. And I felt, you know, am I going to slog through this for 3 years and spend a lot of money in terms of tuition and not be a lawyer? I don't know. To me, it wasn't enough just to, you know, yes, could I have finished? Certainly. I'm sure I could have finished. I'm sure I could have become a lawyer, but I don't know if I would have, or I could have been a lawyer on paper. I'm sure I could have passed the bar. I studied enough. I know I could have done it if I, but I wasn't. I guess the thing that really struck me is when I was in law school that first year, and this is why I think law school, this is done purposely. It's there to weed out people. Everyone thinks they can, I'll just go to law school, but they weed people out. On that first year is purposely difficult to weed out those like me, and I'm the first to admit it, to weed out those like me who it wasn't really in the cards. I had an ability. I think I had the book smarts to get through it. I got in. But it's about, and everybody talks about it today too, it talks about passion, right? What's your passion? And I learned early on that was not my passion. I learned early on, as I said, I am a realist and I am a pragmatist and I am an observer. And I observed around in my different classes and there were some people that were way into it. You could see they loved it. They were consumed with it. And I said to myself, you know, if let's say I became a trial lawyer, which probably is what I would have done, because I do like to talk, and I do like to try to advocate, and I do like to try to convince people of my opinion, right? So it's right up the alley. It's either, you know, radio personality, an actor, or lawyer. A lot of times you'll see a lot of people that are actors went to law school or were into law. And a lot of times, a lot of lawyers become actors. It's not that far in terms of, you know, the abilities and the interests. You are doing kind of the same things. But I just looked around and said, "Boy, if I ever came up against that person in a court case, I think they would whip my butt because they are just consumed with it." I don't have that kind of passion. I don't have that. And as I said, when I do something, I'm all in. And so after the first year, I just said, you know what? If I'm going to spend the time and the effort, I should do it and put it towards something that I really, really enjoy. Once again, no regrets having gone, learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about the law, even in 1 year, enough to be able to talk relatively informed on in certain areas, at least some of the basics. So I came away with that, which has helped me in discussions and talking about, you know, different and understanding different legal issues. But I didn't have the passion for it. I didn't have that drive for it. And that's what you have to have in anything if you're going to be good. So, once again, I look at my notes for today, and nowhere was there a discussion on following your passions or following your dreams. But that's the charm of an Elton Jim podcast, isn't it? You never know where it's going to go when you click on or you download, do you? And the funny part is, I never know where it's going to go when I hit the on button for the microphone. But that's our journey together, right? And that's hopefully what makes it fun and interesting on a weekly basis. But what I do want to talk about is 2018. As I said earlier in the podcast, this is the last podcast of 2018. And so I thought it would be good to do a little review, as everyone does at this point of the year, but not about the big stories of the year. You'll see enough of that. And you probably have already read enough of those recaps of the year. You've seen TV programs about it, you know, the different people have passed away, and the big events of the year, and the newspapers or magazines or online are recapping the best of this and the best of that, and there's award shows and the top 10 news stories of the year and all that stuff. So if you want to find that stuff and go out, you know, there are other outlets that certainly are more equipped to give you all the details on that. But one thing that did occur in 2018, which I think I can speak to and have a little fun with here, occurred in the summer with the now Justice Kavanaugh hearings. And I talked about this several months ago when it happened. In his tumultuous confirmation hearing process, it was revealed that way back 35 years ago, the then Brett Kavanaugh, long before he was a Chief Justice, had kept a daily calendar, like a daily planner, a day planner, a daily calendar of events on a daily basis. And everybody thought this was crazy. Why would a guy who was young do that? Or especially in today's world, everything is, you know, is digital and there's very little paper. Why would anybody do that? But I raised my hand high and said, hey, not only have I always, have I done daily planner things for many years, I do them today. Yes, in this world of iPads and computers and iPhones and every technology you can think of, I am still a hard copy paper day planner guy. In fact, in mid-November, I went out to the store and bought my 2019 day planner. And then went through my 2018 day planner for all of my specific dates, like, you know, birthdays and anniversaries and things like that, and put them into my new 2019 day planner. And I already have things in the day planner, medical, you know, appointments, you know, dentist appointments, haircuts, whatever it is. So even though we haven't even hit 2019, my 2019 calendar is already filled out to some extent with some of those constants like birthdays and anniversaries and things like that. And I've already got stuff in there for January and February. Even planned a couple of vacations. I've got some stuff in there for September. And I love to write in my day planner. And I love to check my day planner. And I told you many times, I even make little lists for myself on a weekly basis. And revamp those lists and update those lists. And there's nothing better. Well, there is a few things better, but there are. It's one of my great joys in life. It doesn't take much to to make me excited. One of my great joys is to look at my list at the beginning of the day and systematically cross out the things and do those things and cross them out. Oh, my gosh, the joy and the excitement. And the sense of fulfillment that I get when I cross out an item on my list. And especially at the end of the day, when I look at the end, when I look at my list and they're all crossed out. Whew, nice. If I smoked a cigarette, I would do it. The earth would have moved for me when I look at my list for the day. And all the things there are crossed out. Whew, yeah. Feels good. So yes, the day planner may have been the biggest news story of, or certainly one of them, of 2018. And so I certainly did not fault. A lot of people were looking at Judge Kavanaugh like he was crazy for doing this. Not me. Regardless of what I thought of him personally or professionally, I certainly bonded with him. On the day planner, have one through 2018. I've kept probably the last 10 years worth. I have. I don't know why, but I have kept them just like he did. I could go back and look at 2009 right now if I wanted to. I don't know what good it's going to do me, but I could if I wanted to. So, yeah, I love the day planner. Always have. Always, when I had an office, I used to ask the people at the office, could you get me the desk calendar? I used to love that one. You remember the giant desk calendar that you put right in front of you that had all the dates in front of you, and then you tore off that month, and you had the next one, you filled it in, or the little small desk calendar that used to have the three holes, and you would flip it over. I had one of the. I've always had those. Even when I was, in my younger days, even when I was in college, I always had a little thing on the desk in my house. I had a little calendar like that. My mom did that too. I must have got that from my mom. In fact, I found one of my mom's old calendars. I remember her calendar up by the phone all the time. She would have a calendar right by the phone, and that's where she would, if she was talking on the phone and you had some kind of appointment, she wrote it right down there. So I must have got that from her because I know my dad didn't do it. And here I am today, still doing it. And it comes in handy for days like this. As we count down the final days here of 2018, in fact, when this podcast is posted, it will be the final day of 2018. And so I typically, when the year is over, I take my book out, and I start in January, and I page through, and I go, oh, that's right. Oh, right. Oh, I forgot about that. That's right, I went to this. Oh, I had lunch with that person. Oh, that's right, we went here. Oh, that's right, we went to that restaurant. Oh, remember that vacation. Oh, remember that game. Whatever it was, you'd be surprised. 365 days, it's not easy to remember all of them. But if you have the day planner. Now, you could say, Jim, you could do that in your phone. Fine. I don't. I have a flip phone. You know that already if you listen to me. I have a day planner. I'm still old school on that. So, what I thought would be fun as we say goodbye to 2018 is to sort of go through that little book there and see what exactly I did do and sort of share that with you. And maybe this is a chance for you to do the same thing, whatever kind of whatever kind of thing you may have. Oh shit! Oh, I'm sorry. I've never sworn on there. I thought I screwed something up on the recording, but I don't think I did. So pardon me for my obscenity. We'll beep that out, right? No, that's that's part of the game, right? Okay. I thought I lost all that I recorded here, but I didn't. But yeah, so I thought we'd go through the day planner, and I'd share with you some of the highlights of my past year, and hopefully this will inspire you to do the same thing. Every year is precious, as I've said. I'm pretty sure if I go back to the first podcast of this year, I probably went through my usual description of how I look at every new year. And part of that is because of my paper day planner. I've always subscribed to the thought, and I know it's not original, although I've heard a lot of people use it now, and I remember using it many years ago. So I doubt if I was the originator of it, but certainly I know I've been using it for a while now. I've been hearing more people use it, but I always look at a new year as another chapter in your book of life. And as it stands right now, yes, there are, as I said, I went through my day planner. There are some dates and things that I already have put in there. But for the most part, in terms of experiences, in terms of living life, nobody knows what the year will bring. Especially, we have these resolutions, which I never make. Silly. It's a cliche. I don't get into it. That's all you're going to read about now. New Year's resolutions. It's a hacky, easy thing about the new year. It's boring. We know all the facts. Everybody gives up by February. Enough with the resolutions. Rather than make a resolutions, I think you should make a goal. And you should decide not a specific thing, but the side that you are going to look at that open book, that new chapter, a whole new crisp blank page that says 2019 at the top of it, and decide what you want to have done to make that a memorable year. As I said, I've been trying to declutter over the last several years. I'm trying to collect experiences now, to collect memories, not stuff, but memories, experiences. And so I look at, I put my energies toward how do I fill up that page on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month period. How do I fill up that empty page, that new chapter of my life? And I have to say that in January, when I look at some of the things that happened to me or that I did this year, I probably couldn't have planned many of the highlights. But I put myself out there to sort of make them happen. You can't wait for the stuff to happen. You've got to put yourself out there. I mean, I guess you can interchange resolution as a goal. But to me, resolution has a fleeting kind of connotation to it. I think a goal is something very specific. But as I said, it's our job, it's our responsibility, it's our obligation to, we are given an amazing gift here. Every year, a new page to fill. And we never know when that that obligation or that opportunity is going to be taken away. So whenever a new year comes, we should take that as a challenge and as an exciting opportunity to fill up that page and work toward getting that next blank page the next year. So my 2018, I know there is no way that some of the things that happened to me in 2018 I could have expected. But at the same time, I knew that I was out to fill the page. And so when opportunities came, I went after them in order to make those experiences, to make those memories. And that's why I look back at 2018 and I was like, wow, pretty good year. Who knew? Who would have expected? Thankfully, health-wise, things went very well for me. Nothing major. That's always good. And that's a huge burden off of, you know, your entire year. I remember back in 2015. Oh, my gosh, I will never forget 2015. I had more things happen to me in 2015. I was like, what the hell's going on here? And maybe we all have those sometimes, or it just seems like, you know. So thankfully, 2018, on a health-wise, I went and did my usual, you know, updates and checkups and things like that. But thankfully, I didn't have any major ailments or major things. I had a few little things here and there, but nothing huge or catastrophic or serious. So that's good. But like, for instance, I act in plays here in the Chicago area. And throughout this year, I was in three plays. And I have to say that each one of them was a highlight for me for a different reason. I was in the play Young Frankenstein, which is a Mel Brooks creation based on his movie. I am a huge Mel Brooks fan, have been since I was a little kid. My dad loved Mel Brooks, and he took me to all those Mel Brooks movies. And so here I was. I finally had a chance to actually say and sing, because it's a musical, some of Mel Brooks's words and his creativity. And that was a great thrill for me. I didn't even know at the beginning of the year that play was going to be presented. I didn't even know that I'd have the opportunity to be in it. But when I saw the audition notice, I went out for it. I got a part, and I had a great time. I was in a play called Glengarry Glen Ross, which I spoke about here on the podcast, which is one of my favorite plays of all time. I did not know that in the summer I would be cast in the role that I wanted to play for more than 30 years when I was a young kid. And that was one of the most fulfilling moments of my life, creatively, professionally, or personally. And I had a great time. I got the role that I wanted. It was a great cast. It was a great production. And then part of the great cherry on the sundae was I got to have lunch with Joe Mantegna, the actor, who was the original Richard Roma on Broadway, who won a Tony Award for it back in the 80s. And we got to swap stories, and we had lunch with him for 2 hours. And so, wow, what an amazing experience. That there is no way at the beginning of 2018 I would have ever thought that, A, I was going to be in that play, and B, that I was going to meet Joe Mantegna and bond with him and have lunch with him. No way. But what I did know is that I wanted to fill my empty page for 2018 with cool memories and cool experiences. And through a series of events, I was able to make that happen. That's the goal. You have to have the drive and the ambition to fill that page. And then you'd be surprised where things will lead you. When you think about, at the end of the year, I'm going to look back at this and go, what did I do in 2018? And as I said, I look back and I go, some cool things happen. Then I was in another play called The Crucible, one of the classic Arthur Miller plays. And I got another role that I've always wanted to do in that. And it was a fun production, entertaining. I had thoroughly enjoyed it. And we may even do a reprisal of that in a competition here in 2019. So I'm looking forward to that possibly. So that even lives on. That memory from 2018 may live on into 2019. I had no idea that that play was going to be available, that I was going to audition. But I knew that throughout 2018, I was going to pursue some acting roles. And so there you go. They don't come to you. You've got to go to them. That's the goal. Fill that page. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes focus. But as I said, when you look back, when you put all those attributes into it, you'd be surprised what little bullet points, what little experiences you wind up filling that empty page that you get every year of your life to put in there. There is no way at the beginning of the year in January I would have known, because it was under wraps, that Elton John was going to announce that he was going to start a farewell tour. That, yes, was going to take 2 or 3 years, but that he was going to start a farewell tour. I had no idea. And then meanwhile, at the end of the year now, I saw 10 of the shows. And a byproduct of that, when the announcement came in January, I had no idea. And A, I had no idea that the tour was going to start, right? So that was exciting. And all of a sudden gave me an opportunity to do some cool things in 2018 and beyond. But then an outgrowth of that was I was on the local television news here in Chicago with entertainment reporter Dean Richards, and I got to show off on television for a segment on the WGN morning news. I got to show off many of the items in my Elton John collection on television. So once again, at the beginning of the year, had no way of knowing that Elton John was going to announce this farewell tour, and certainly after the announcement came, had no way of knowing that I eventually would go on television because of that and show off my collection, which was a great thrill, and had a lot of fun with Dean, and I thank him for that. So how cool was that? Had no way of knowing that. My wife and I went to New York and had no way of knowing that we were going to go see the two Harry Potter plays on Broadway, as well as seeing Bruce Springsteen on Broadway. Didn't know that at the beginning of the year. Didn't know we were going to do that, but two really great, great entertainment experiences, ones that will certainly be very memorable. What else is on the list here? I mean, there's a big one. We went on a couple of really fun trips. We went, as I talked a couple weeks ago, we went on a cruise up the Danube. Didn't know we were going on that. I booked that in February. We went in November, but I booked that in February. But in January, had no way of knowing we were going to do that. Did not know. But we got a great deal. We had the time. And we did it. And, I went to, had no way of knowing in the summer. We went to Los Angeles for a couple of days. Had no way of knowing I was going to see a Cub game against the Dodgers in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium. Always wanted to go to Dodger Stadium. Never had been there. And I think around March or April, went online and said, you know what? I want to go to Dodger Stadium. When are the Cubs going to be there? And that's my point. You know, you just have to decide, okay, what have I wanted to do? Get my goals, get my list together. And that was an amazing game. There was no way of certainly knowing what a great game there was going to be. The Cubs were down 2-1. And we were surrounded by Dodger fans, of course. There were a lot of Cub fans there, though, too, which was cool. And then the Cubs wound up winning, I think, 9-2 or 7-2. And Javier Baez hit a grand slam. And the Cubs came back and won. It was an amazing game. No way of knowing that was going to happen. Not even during that game did I know it was going to happen. But it was fun that we put ourselves in those seats. As I said, on that same trip, wound up having lunch with Joe Mantegna to talk about Glengarry Glen Ross and the Cubs. He's a Chicago guy. And we had a great time there. So that was very cool. In February, I took a photo. I went to an Elton John concert in Las Vegas. I took a photo. Elton brought his two sons up on stage. I was up at the front of the stage. I took a great photo of Elton and his two boys. And while Elton was playing, his young son was sitting on the piano bench. And he turned around for a second and smiled at his brother like, wow, this is really cool, isn't it? And they looked at each other, and I got them at that moment, and it was such a great picture that I thought, geez, Elton John should really have this picture. So I had a picture, the photo developed, I sent it to him, and never expected anything back. But once again, at the beginning of the year, I never expected that, A, I was going to take that picture, and B, after I sent it to him, about a month later or so, that I would get a thank you card from Elton delivered to my house. He wrote the address in the envelope himself. Never in January of 2018 did I think that would happen. But you know what? I took the effort. I went to the concert. I got the opportunity to take the picture. And when I took the picture home, I went the extra mile and said, let me just send this to him. If it never happens again, if nothing ever happens from it, whatever. But at least I know I sent it. And I got a letter back, which is now framed and hanging on my wall. Very cool. No way at the beginning in January of 2018 did I know that that was going to happen. But as I said, you know, You make the efforts. And as I said, I went to Vegas and I saw Elton's final Las Vegas shows. That I did know. That I did have tickets to. I knew I was going to do that. there's just so many cool things. And I have to say, obviously, that, probably the coolest thing that happened in 2018, which I'm going to keep with me as a great memory. I mean, I'm just going through the different months, and there's some memories that are a lot more important than others. But this one memory is going to stay with me for the rest of my life and remains one of the key ones. And I've shared this with you, but I think it's certainly worth talking about again and sharing with you just as I review 2018, because I'm still, it happened, what, 2 months ago in October, October 19th to be exact, and I still can't believe it happened. When I tell people the story, they're still shocked, and so am I. And I hope I never lose that shock. I hope I never lose that excitement. I hope I never lose the goosebumps when I think about it or when I hear it, because it really was an unbelievable, unexpected, and great memory that I am just so grateful to have. And as I shared with you earlier, on October 19th this year in New York, I went to see an Elton John concert. And much to my surprise, shock, he dedicated a song to me during the concert in Madison Square Garden. And wow, I'm still amazed. He doesn't do that very often for a fan. He does it a lot of times to for his friends and people he works with and things like that, but never a fan. And he singled me out, and I'm amazed that it happened. I burned the audio on a CD, so I have it in my car, and I play it every so often just to remind myself that it happened. And it really was an amazing connection for a moment between, you know, one of my idols, my main idol, and me. And even though there was probably, you know, 17,000-18,000 people there that night, for those 24, I call them the 24 magical MSG moments, or, you know, 24 magical MSG seconds, if you will. That's what I call them. There was just me and Elton in that venue. And every time now, I've gone back to Madison Square Garden since, and now Madison Square Garden is, in a cool, very small way, but in a cool way, at least in my mind, a part of my history. Am I exaggerating this to some extent? But think about something that means a lot to you, and that's something like that. This is for me. Elton John said my name in that historic venue. It echoed in that venue, and so I like to think that every time I walk in there, that somewhere in the deepest, smallest recesses of Madison Square Garden, my name is still echoing somewhere. It's pretty cool. It's as I said, now Madison Square Garden, I have a connection with Madison Square Garden in New York, and I think that's pretty cool. And I have a connection with Elton in Madison Square Garden, and he's had some amazing moments in Madison Square Garden. He played with John Lennon, which would turn out to be John Lennon's last public performance in 1974, because he went into retirement and then was killed in 1980. So, and Elton played the 9/11 concert there. He had a lot of memorable concerts of his own in Madison Square Garden. It's his favorite venue to play in the world. And so the fact that he would dedicate a song to me in his favorite venue is, what can I say? It is a highlight, not only of 2018, but a highlight of my life. And if you didn't hear it before, I never get tired playing this.
There's so many people here tonight who are my friends. There's one person I want to dedicate this song to, because I've been talking about you guys up there. This guy from Chicago has been to so many shows. He's one of the loyalest fans in the world. I've never dedicated the song to him, but tonight I'm dedicating this to Jim Toronto. This is for you, baby.
How about that? Pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. Oh, thank you so much, Elton. That is so cool. When your nickname is Elton Jim, and Elton John does that for you, completely, I think, spur of the moment. I was up in the front of the stage there, and I had been singing along and doing my air piano, and we made eye contact several times. And I guess, as I said, I think now I can say when people ask me, well, does he know who you are? I think I could say yes to that. That was my 182nd Elton John concert on October 19th, 2018. I'm now up to 187. And as I look at my my empty page for 2019, I'm sure it's going to be filled with some more Elton John concerts as I hopefully, if I can, get to 200 by the time he finishes his farewell tour. We'll see what happens, but that's certainly the goal. He'll be performing until 2021, so I'm optimistic, all things being equal, but nothing, I think, is ever going to match the excitement of that moment and of the moments now and the memories of it now. Of that that song dedication. And even members of his band looked at me like, wow. And I've spoken with a couple of them since. And they said, wow, that was really crazy. He never does that. So thank you, Elton, for not only making a great memory for 2018, but making a great memory forever in my life. And certainly making it worth all the airports and all the waiting and all the hotels and all the effort that it does take. And yes, I understand all the money that it's cost. But I'll tell you one thing, that 24 seconds, those 24 magical MSG seconds made it really, you know, all worthwhile. And so if I have to look back at 2018, a lot of cool things happened. And I'm very happy the way I filled in that empty page that I was given back in January of this year. And so while you could look back and say job well done and some great memories, and certainly, as I said, memory of the year and memory of a lifetime, Elton John dedicating a song to me, you know what? 2019 sits there just waiting to say, I could top that. It's a blank page, folks. We all get one. It's up to us to fill it. It's up to us to fill it and beat last year's. It's going to take a lot for me to beat last year's, but I am looking forward to the challenge. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great 2018. And let's make 2019 even better. And so that concludes episode 137 of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your entertainment pleasure. Thank you for clicking, swiping, downloading, whatever it does, whatever you do to find us. We appreciate it. And we look forward to doing more podcasts throughout 2019 and beyond. But we can put a pin in 2018. And so we say thank you for listening to the last 52 episodes, and there's a whole empty page of podcasts to be made, too. And I hope you'll be with us for those as well. But go out there and get those memories and get those experiences in 2019. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic from the end of the web to your screen. Have a great 2019.